With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Beat me up on the mamas of all mama shit.
Hey, I'm looking through my telescope and I see a mothership. Is that you? Beam me up.
Hey, DA, I'm thirsty, man. Could you beam me up for a cold one?
Hey, DA, what's going on, baby? Stop me off and beam me up.
DA, what's the dealio? Permission to get in that mothership.
Is my window seat still available? Beam me up.
What's going on, DA? Hey, man, I need you to do me a huge favor. My coworker's a jerk. Oh, just beam me up, man.
Get beamed up. Everyone else has. It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
And we come to you live from the Quicken Loan Studios, national mortgage lender. Quicken Loans, apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. Welcome back, DA with you here on CBS Sports Radio, hour number two. Coming up this hour, do you believe Lenny Dykstra's story? There always is one with nails. Also, sound check coming up this hour, which includes LeBron James talking about whether he is fatigued after last night's game number five loss in Boston. And the Capitals are headed to their first Stanley Cup final with Alexander Ovechkin, only their second time ever, last time 20 years ago. Last night in Boston, another easy victory for the home team of the Eastern Finals. We have still not had a competitive game five games in. Last night, another snooze. And I think game six will be a snooze again. I think the Cavaliers win easily on home floor. I mean, is there any doubt LeBron's going to have a monster game number six at home, perhaps his final home game as a Cavalier? I think we're just setting ourselves up for hopefully a dramatic game number seven. But last night, there are just so many things to criticize about the Cavaliers. Number one, you know the Celtics will play better at home. You know, than they did on the road. So you've got to match their intensity, their energy. You don't. You know there is going to be a couple of matchups that Brad Stevens mixes up. So Ty Lue, be prepared for that. He's not. Kyle Korver is arguably the third best player on the Cavaliers. He only gets 18 minutes of action because of what Ty Lue said was Brad Stevens' matchup problem. Celtics felt like they were getting out-bigged, out-rebounded, so they went to a bigger lineup. It worked. They slowed the game down. They were more deliberate with their offense. They did not want to get into a run-and-gun game. They did not. They held the lead throughout. There's just so many things that are problematic about the Celtics, about the Cavaliers rather, when they're playing the Celtics on the road or when they're playing a lot of other teams as well. And LeBron can only do so much in terms of elevating the rest of the team. Why guys like J.R. Smith and Tristan Thompson, who have won championships before, can't seem to bring consistent effort or production, I have no idea. But you just saw it once again last night. And the thing is, the Celtics aren't a great team because a great team doesn't have that dramatic of a drop-off when they leave home. But at home, they're fantastic. But this series, despite being game six coming up and probably a game seven, has been a bore, has been a snooze. Because what happens? Two flawed teams. They're not two great teams, they're two flawed teams. When two flawed teams get together, they might play a long series, but it doesn't mean it's an entertaining series. 855-212-4CBS. Twitter, DA on CBS. Lewis is next up. He's in Palmdale listening on CBS Sports Radio out there and online, cbssportsradio.com. And called our toll-free line at 855-212-4227, brought to you by Geico. Great news. Quick way you could save money switching to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Lewis, what's going on, bud?
Ready or not, here I come. Permission to come on board,
my master.
Permission granted. I am nobody's master, but I appreciate the permission request. What's going on, bud?
Hey, before we get to the my basketball take, I want to tell that the meat temptress for Sean Morass is going to be Kaiser Soze. We're never going to hear from that person ever again.
Yeah, that's right. He's just gonna, she's going to fade into the darkness, and we'll never find out who it was.
But the NBA, man, both the Warrior game and the Celtics game has been destroyed by the three-point shot, and this is what I think. Once this shot doesn't come through for any of these teams, the game virtually stops. They stop with their effort. They stop their defense. Rebounding stops. The game has changed into a three-point format, which has destroyed the game and become snooze fest. Once these guys get into their rhythm, they start shooting the heck out of the gym, and the game becomes competitive. Gone are the games, the days when they start playing from the inside out, and now it's just an outside game.
I think that's fair, Lewis. And I also think it's why we see big-time margins of victory or big-time blowouts, because the three-point barrage can mean that three trips down the floor, you extend a five-point lead to 14. You make three threes in a row, they miss three threes in a row, and boom, it's a blowout. And then it's easy to shoot when you lead by 15, hard to shoot when you're down 15. I don't want to say the three-point shot has destroyed basketball, but I do think there's something to how different effort is today, because while you've got to work harder than ever getting up and down the floor with a fast-paced offense, and now it's much better than it was in the early 2000s, say, guys do end up lollygagging around the three-point arc, hoisting up, chucking, and if they know they're not going to touch the basketball down the floor, because James Harden's going to pull up and shoot one from 27, and they're never going to touch it, you're going to see lack of effort running around trying to get position in your offense. So I do think that's fair. William's next up in Baltimore, listening on 1300 of CBS Sports Radio. What's up, Will? William, the air there, buddy.
I am the epic fail.
All right. No Will in Baltimore. Wasn't Will in Baltimore our famous caller from the overnight days that once staged a robbery at a 7-Eleven that he was working at overnight just to become one of the 12 DAs of Christmas?
That was a Will in Baltimore. This was William in Baltimore. Totally different people. But yes, that's how we had the Baltimore Sun, I believe, and the Baltimore Police Department on the case scouring what 7-Eleven got robbed. And it was all for the 12 DAs.
For those that don't know the lore and the legacy of the DA show, when we were doing overnights in the first 2 years of CBS Sports Radio's history, 2013 and 2014, we had become such a force in the overnights that people were desperately trying to figure out any way to become part of the show or part of the 12 DAs of Christmas. So much so that Will in Baltimore staged, while he was on the phone, a stick-up. He said, DA, I've got to go. And then he called back and said that the joint had been stuck up, that a robber had come in, stolen all this cash just to get to the 12 DAs. We later found out through police reports and the Baltimore Sun online that there was no stick up. There were no authorities. We called him out on it, and he had to come clean, which created all types of controversy on the show. How long would he be banned? Should he be banned? Should he be banned for the 12 DAs of Christmas? Should that be voided, negated, kind of like the steroid era? Sammy Sosa can't get in. Manny Ramirez can't get in. You tested positive. Sorry. No matter what your numbers are. It created one of the most cataclysmic events in DA show history. And to be quite frank, Morass, I don't know if we've ever recovered.
We certainly haven't. And a little behind the scenes of that moment, we ended up having a judge's ruling and a suspension for him for how long he could call again. And the time that his suspension ran out happened to be the time that we moved from overnights to evenings on the East Coast.
Yes.
And therefore, because of that switch and because of his 7-Eleven work hours, he was never to call again. So we have never heard from him again. I hope he's doing okay.
Yeah, this was probably fall of 2014, We then, January 2015, moved to the evening hour, 6 to 10 Eastern time, here on CBS Sports Radio. And after that, we never heard from Will in Baltimore ever again. Maybe that was the Will in Baltimore.
I don't believe it was, because I had the same thought when I screened him. Maybe if we don't have a quality epic fail, we can bring back Will in Baltimore for the epic fail today.
Could you imagine staging a stick-up at your work, at your place of employment, just to become one of the members of the 12 Days of Christmas? That is loyalty and effort.
Which is why, to this day, I question the authenticity of Torg Bellinger.
Oh, you think that somebody called in for Torg Bellinger to become a 12 DA?
No, I think that Torg Bellinger, when we thought he was that crazy, and we still are so confused how somebody could be that nuts, maybe is more of a fan of the show than we realized, and thus wanted to be as crazy as possible to ensure his place in history in a 12 DA.
I like the idea that Torg Bellinger is a loyal D-alien, and it was just tweaking us, trying to become part of lore.
It could happen. As the president's been sent.
We touched on the anthem issue yesterday, as the NFL has decided that you are mandated to come out and stand for the national anthem, or you are allowed to stay in the locker room, but you are not allowed to come out and kneel during the national anthem, and it sounds like you're not allowed to lock arms or raise a fist either, or there will be fines to the team. Is this a solution? I don't think it's a good one, but it's a solution. I think you're making it more of a problem than it has to be by inserting fines into the middle of everything. But I thought one of the most interesting takes on this was from Chris Long, Howie Long's son, Philadelphia Eagle, who has been pretty vocal in terms of social injustices. He has lent time and money to Charlottesville after that incident, since he was a UVA grad. And Chris Long has worked pretty hard to try to make a difference in the community. And I think everybody can appreciate that, because so many times we gripe that athletes complain about things that they find unfair but don't actually put action behind it. And Chris Long has. Chris Long's tweet and take on the anthem issue was, "This is not patriotism. Don't get it confused. This is fear of a diminished bottom line. These owners don't love America more than the players demonstrating and taking real action to improve it. It lets you, the fan, know where our league stands. I will continue to be committed to effecting change with my platform. I'm someone who's always looked at the anthem as a declaration of ideals, including the right to peaceful protest. Our league continues to fall short on this issue." And I think that's important to note. We live in a very divided and polarizing time. And there are many people in America, I'm sure many people listening right now, that consider part of America unpatriotic. Love it or leave it, which has been yelled from the rooftops forever, anytime America's been at war, but certainly in the last 40 to 50 years since the Vietnam War. Love it or leave it. And I think this is an important note. I think no matter where you stand on the anthem issue, and I understand both sides, I understand if you come from a military family where you're very prideful of the United States of America and believe that the anthem should represent the best in all of us and should not be used as a political moment. I understand those that say there are problems in America that we need to solve, and I'm not completely on board with 100% of this country, and I will make my voice heard when it matters most, which is at a time when millions of people are watching. I understand both, and I completely support peaceful protest. That's what this country has been built upon, peaceful political dissent, which is exactly what this is, whether you like it or not, whether you like the message or not. And I think that a lot of people would totally support kneeling during the national anthem if they supported what was being protested. But I understand how divisive this all is, but I think this is an interesting take from Chris Long, by saying this is not patriotism, this is fear of losing money, which he's right. the NFL owners snap into action, not because they're going, oh my God, we love America and you players don't. They're snapping into line. They're making rules because they worry about you not watching football. If more people watched football because of the protest during the national anthem, they wouldn't change a thing. If they saw ratings going up because people started supporting players having a voice during the national anthem, if our president said, football's great because this is lending a voice to those that are usually unheard, you should watch more football, support these guys, the NFL wouldn't change anything. This is not about 32 owners going, we are patriotic and you are not. This is about them worrying about business, which, look, that's their right. They're the owners. They're looking at business. But we've gotten this thing so squirrely and so screwed up, thinking that if you kneel during the national anthem, you don't love the country as much as I do because I stand during the national anthem. Or those that support standing during the national anthem must love the country more. That has become totally, to me, pirated and really screwed up. And I think that's what Chris Long is saying, is that don't get this twisted. This isn't about patriotism. This is about the owners getting scared that they're losing fans. And he's right. And they have every right to make changes, which they do with rules changes and television contracts and TV matchups on Sunday night, or this or that, or putting the Stars on prime time. They do this for a lot of things. How do we make our league more palatable to a wider audience? But that's what this is. Forget who believes in America more. This is about, we just don't want to offend anybody. And there's less people watching, and maybe this is a reason, so let's switch it up. Let's make sure this doesn't happen, because we need to not have any type of problem with attendance or interest or ratings. 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. Twitter, DA on CBS. Do you believe Lenny Dykstra's story? He's got a million of them. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Make the right game plan for you. Farmers Insurance has practical insurance knowledge gained from more than 89 years of experience. Find an agent at farmers.com.
We are Farmers. Bum, ba-dum, bum, 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 bum.
There's a brand new Nomad episode out this week. Have you ever had chili dogs? Going through puberty again. It's tough.
Wow.
When you change.
Uh-huh.
Peter Brady style. Have you ever had chili dogs with chocolate milk?
You need to eat like this. You need to eat like this.
Well, there's an institution in central New York named Hides of Liverpool that I used to live at essentially when I was in college, because I love myself some hot dogs, especially chili dogs, especially Coney's or Hoffman Hots. Oh, man. People in Texas know what I'm talking about. People that know the Coney dog know what I'm talking about. Upstate New York knows what I'm talking about. This week's episode, Coney's chocolate milk chili. Oh, yeah. And over 100 years old, this place. Check it out by going to YouTube, search my name and Nomad, Damon and Nomad, which is Damon spelled backwards. You'll see this week's episode fresh and delivered. And subscribe when you're there, because if you're subscribed, then you get special deals, special insidey promo codes, and every time that there's a new episode, it gets emailed to you or alerted to your phone. And who wouldn't need more alerts to their phones?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. The injury report brought to you by the Salt Institute. Taking a look at the latest injuries. Clayton Kershaw should return to the Dodgers rotation within the next 2 weeks, says Dave Roberts, his manager. He's been out since early May. Biceps tendonitis. Dodgers are 3.5 games back in the NL West. Boy, it could be way worse how bad their early part of the season has been. Also, Brandon Guyer, Indians outfielder, 10-day DL neck strain. The injury occurred when he collided with a fan in the stands going for a foul ball this weekend. Francona says he got a forearm awkwardly to the neck. Don't you hate when that happens? Mraz nearly got that from his wife, Danielle, when he said, yeah, could you just hand me the skirt steak and say you like that, big boy? Forearm right to the neck.
Is that so?
After exercise, it's critical to replace both water and salt lost through perspiration during the activity. Salt is a vital component of hydration, and that's why athletes need it too. Find out more at littlesalt.org. Wouldn't it be nice if Lenny Dykstra had a clean, uneventful, non-controversial post-career? That way you could really like him and appreciate him for what he did in the baseball diamond, which was play like his hair was on fire, high effort, high motor guy, encapsulate the competitiveness and the fire, make the most out of a small body that most thought would never get to Major League Baseball. Lenny Dykstra on the 1986 New York Mets, a catalyst for everything. Also a member of the 1993 Philadelphia Phillies, going all the way to the World Series, a catalyst for everything. Dykstra should be able to be easily beloved because of what he typified, and yet he's the biggest personal disaster ever, and so it's impossible to truly wrap your arms ever around him. Every time I go out to a game and I see somebody in a Lenny Dykstra jersey, I go, you sure you want to do that? I know that these people are separating his life and his post-playing career with what he did on the baseball diamond, but every time I see an old Dykstra jersey, and there's plenty of them around Mets games where I'm a season ticket holder because of his 86 ties, I go, you sure you want to buy that? Hell, and this is coming from a guy that owns both a Gooden and a Strawberry throwback. I mean, most of the games I used to watch those two on, they were definitely on cocaine. But I'll take that over the disaster that Lenny Dykstra has been. So Dykstra, who has pled guilty to bankruptcy fraud, admitted sexual harassment, has trashed a hotel room, now has a new story. At 3:30 in the morning the other day, Lenny Dykstra was arrested after an altercation with an Uber driver. This was in New Jersey. Hopefully it wasn't Robbie Rosenhaus. He was charged with third-degree count of making terroristic threats as well as a number of drug crimes. Now, this is according to the police report. Dykstra hailed an Uber very late at night. So this arrest happened at 3:30 in the morning. So let's just say it happened at about 2:30 in the morning. 2:30 in the morning, Dykstra calls an Uber, gets on his phone, goes to the app, says, I need a car. He's in the car and then says, hey, we've got to change the destination. Okay, so now it's about 3 a.m. Dykstra is in your Uber and says, oh, I'm not going to the place I said I was, so we got to change destination. Now, for those that have ever tried this, you know it's a disaster. Because these drivers, everything is logged by the phones, logged by the computer, seen by the bosses. That's how they know what to charge and what the percentage is. So you know it's a hard, difficult thing. When Dykstra asks to change where he's going at 3 a.m. in the morning, it's not to go somewhere where there's less action.
Correct.
It's not to go home to a quiet night.
Correct.
It's not saying, you know what? I've had enough tonight. I need to just get some shut-eye.
Correct.
Early morning, I got to get up for work. No, if Dykstra changes his route, he found out that there's more bad to be had at the new place.
That is right.
Uh-huh. There's either more girls or more drugs or more bankruptcy fraud or more alcohol or more something bad. This happens. The driver says, can't do that. It's already logged to the system. I got to bring it to the original destination. Dykstra then, according to the police report, puts a gun to the driver's head and threatens to kill him, which is the obvious problem solving that happens at that point in time. How many of us have said, this is not my stop. I'm about two blocks down. I got to drop you off here. Well, here's a gun on the side of your head. I will kill you if you don't. I mean, that's always usually what the next point is.
Happened to me this morning.
I know. The driver, though, has probably thought about this many times, especially when picking up Lenny Dykstra, and said in his mind, if anybody pulls a gun on me, I am going to drive straight to the police department and honk my horn repeatedly to alert officers, hey, something's going wrong. which I would imagine if you're a cabbie, an Uber driver, anybody that's picking up people middle of the night, you've got to be worried about being robbed and things happening. So he drives straight to the police department, honks the horn repeatedly, then stops outside of the police headquarters. The cops then arrest Lenny Dykstra and find him in possession of marijuana, cocaine, and ecstasy, which is like a 3-run home run game.
It's a Wednesday for Bilotti.
However, Dykstra says that he didn't do anything wrong. He says the Uber driver kidnapped him and almost killed him by going 100 miles an hour, then locked me in the car and wouldn't let me out. When we return, who do you believe? DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
It's the show about the show. Here's the best of this week's Permission Granted podcast.
You're telling me that a young child who would openly taunt a friend of his dad at a wiffle ball game at a block party is going to be the most polite kid ever in getting baseballs at ballpark? Like, the most, you know, reserved? Come on, I don't believe that. If he's willing to boo you during a wiffle ball game, he's willing to steal a baseball from somebody else chasing.
Download the PGP today on iTunes and play.it or listen at daoncbs.com and the show's Facebook page, Zaps.
Apparently we're on Schwartz's bleep list.
I'm a little wet, a little drippy.
Because we dared to call shenanigans on his claim that his kids are perfectly polite, always reserved, diplomatic, and just in the right place at the right time, to the tune of 5 baseballs in a baseball game.
Hey, I'm Peter Schwartz.
I'm not buying it. I called shenanigans on it on this week's PGP, and now Schwartz won't talk to either me or Mraz. Never ends around here. A lot of friendly fire. Never ends. I want to quickly revisit this Lenny Dykstra story. Dykstra says he was kidnapped by an Uber driver. That he almost killed Dykstra by driving 100 miles an hour. Locked me in his car and he wouldn't let me out. This was according to Lenny Dykstra after he was arrested. He was arrested at 3:30 a.m. a couple of nights ago, according to the police, because he put a gun to the head of the Uber driver, said, take me to the new destination, and then the Uber driver drove to a police headquarters, started slamming on the horn, pulled up and parked in front of the police headquarters and said, we got a crazy man in here. Now, apparently there was no gun found, but Dykstra did have marijuana, cocaine, and ecstasy on him. What do you think really happened here? Is there the truth? Is there Dykstra's story, the Uber driver story, and then the truth? Or are one of these two sides telling the full truth?
I think it's probably somewhere in between. But my guess would be, ultimately, judging by the ecstasy, weed, and whatever else was in the car with Dykstra, I'm going to tend to side with the Uber driver, assuming he's had a good rating. Why would you drive? to a police station and honk your horn because you kidnapped somebody? You drive there because you're scared out of your mind.
That's a good point. Now, is Lenny Dykstra interpreting this as a kidnapping because once the gun was at his head, the Uber driver locked the doors and drove like a bat out of hell to the police headquarters?
Yes.
Is that Dykstra thinking that's a kidnapping?
My guess would be yes, because remember, now no gun is found, so my assumption is this Uber driver's never had a gun point to his head, which is probably a good thing. Dykstra,
definitely a good thing, Mraz.
Dykstra, yeah. Dykstra's got maybe 2 fingers doing the old fake the gun mimic
but
thing.
But would you think 2 fingers at your temple was a gun?
In that moment, if a guy's all messed up, you know, oh, this is where you're going to drive me, you could think anything. If you're not going to look back and confront him, you're driving.
Maybe it's a cell phone?
Maybe it's something like that. But Dykstra himself knows it's not a gun because he's bluffing. So when the Uber driver takes off driving 100 miles an hour, he doesn't even take his own threat seriously. So therefore takes that and interprets it as a kidnapping. And I'm assuming while on ecstasy, we can only assume based on what they found, you're going to think anything is crazy, right?
Uh-huh.
We were partying. What do you think this is?
Dykstra is so messed up these days. Bilotti, what do you believe here? Dykstra's story or the Uber driver story or somewhere in between?
Oh, the Uber driver story, 100%, because I wouldn't believe Dykstra if his tongue was notarized. I do not trust that man whatsoever. Great baseball player, but I do not trust him for as far as I could throw him.
What facts here do we believe? Do we believe that Dykstra was smacked out of his mind?
Yeah, at 3 a.m., Lenny Dykstra is
in Dykstra's system. Do we also believe that Dykstra was locked in the vehicle? Or is he just making that up? Because you have to lock doors when you're driving 100 miles an hour.
Yeah, I mean, I'm assuming the driver probably locked him to make sure he could bring him to go to jail. Yeah, I would say he was locked in the vehicle.
Hmm. Do we think there was a gun and it was thrown out the window by Dykstra?
No.
No gun.
I think he's a fake gun carrier in that spot.
Okay, phantom gun carrier.
Phantom gun carrier.
Who was in the wrong here?
Oh, it's clearly Dykstra. I mean, if you want to say technically did the Uber driver kidnap him, I guess in the technical terms, probably, because he locked him in the car. But he's doing that as self-defense to bring the person who, you know, is threatening to kill him to prison.
Don't you like that Dykstra is claiming, my God, this Uber driver almost killed me. Well, according to the Uber driver, you threatened to kill him. I mean, come on. Yeah, he said there was a gun at his head, but he totally freaked out.
I'm not around.
The best part is Lenny Dykstra suddenly cares about speed limit regulations, too. He's going 100 miles an hour.
He wouldn't let me out. He almost killed me. I mean, of course, that's after I threatened to kill him. But, I mean, why did he freak out so much? Dykstra. What a mess.
You're looking like a dog foaming at the mouth.
That's why you can't wear a Dykstra jersey. You just can't. Because you are wearing that guy's laundry. That guy. Let's get to your best audio of the day. It is time for Soundcheck.
CBS presents this program in color.
An educated person can't think he's going to get a recruit by strippers coming in.
They can fire you, but they can't eat you.
And they run through our ass like through a tin horn, man, and we could not stop them.
The audio you need to hear. It's DA Soundcheck.
Just a quick left turn here. Is Robbie Rosenhaus a liar?
Wow. What? Are you finger wagging me like Palmero here? Where is this even coming from?
Robbie.
I'm saying, would Robbie claim that he has driven Lenny Dykstra after hearing this story, wanting to be part of the news?
Yes. 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 That is a Robbie Rosenhaus move for sure. Always has to inject himself. Oh, no, I've done that. Lenny never gave me a hard time. Yeah. Okay.
But do you think that he's actually driven Lenny before
as an Uber driver? No, there are plenty of people Robbie has not driven, but he acts like he's like the driver for the Stars.
Okay, so you are calling Robbie a liar then?
Definitely a liar.
Robbie Rosenhaus.
All right. We begin with LeBron James. The Cavaliers go to Boston to get smacked around again.
LeBron, you mentioned the fatigue thing earlier, but were you under the weather at all in this game?
No. I'm fine. And I didn't mention the fatigue either. One of you guys did. I'm fine.
I appreciate LeBron not making excuses for his team, for his loss. LeBron, 26 points and 10 rebounds to go along with 6 turnovers in this game. This has been a snooze of a series. Every single one of these games has been a blowout, and I think it'll continue into the 7th game. I think the Cavaliers win easily at home in game number 6. And then we are set up for LeBron on the road in a game 7. Now, let's hope that we get some drama in a LeBron-led Cavs team on the road for the NBA Finals. But who knows? Every one of these games, the home team has won easily. And last night, just another poor effort from the Cavaliers. And I really do think that the stopwatch is now on, waiting for LeBron to leave. I just don't think he's going to come back. And I don't say this just based on swinging in the wind after a win or after a loss, not just because of last night. I think what you're seeing is this extraordinary fatigue that he's going through because he is lifting far more than he should be on this team. It's just not a very good team. and he is two wins away from yet another NBA Finals, and I think he is exhausted after carrying this franchise this year. And part of this is his own situation, his own doing. He wanted Tristan Thompson on that deal. He wants J.R. Smith there. He does not want a strong head coach, at least doesn't seem that way. He has wanted Ty Lue there. You know, this is a guy that is seemingly has his hands in every part of the roster build. He wanted Kevin Love. He got Kevin Love, and it worked for a championship, and it's worked to a certain extent for three straight years getting to an NBA Finals. And look, it might just so happen that historically he ran into one of the greatest teams of all time in the middle of their dynasty with the Golden State Warriors two out of the last 3 years. But I just don't think he's coming back, because unless he can convince another superstar to come join him like a Paul George, there is just too much lifting to be done for him within this franchise, on this roster, moving forward. And he always sets himself up every year for a chance to win a championship. There's a better situation to be had this offseason elsewhere. Capitals head coach Barry Trotz has led his team to the Stanley Cup Final, winning a Game 7 on the road last night in Tampa. And Alexander Ovechkin scored the first goal of the game just a minute and 2 seconds in.
I went to visit Ovi right after his wedding, and we talked about a couple things and redefining himself a little bit. There was a lot of people doubting that he still had what it took. And I think the great players take exception to that.
If you're watching at watchda.com, you see me rocking an old school throwback Washington Capitals t-shirt, because I love that old logo. And I've always really enjoyed watching Alexander Ovechkin. And I love the stories of redemption from guys that have been in the league a long time, future Hall of Famers that are on this desperate quest for a championship to validate their career. And that's exactly what we're watching with Ovechkin. We'll talk about this more in depth coming up at the top of the hour. But how about the Capitals simply doing things that previous Capitals teams always didn't do? This was not the most talented Capitals team of this era. This was not a President's Trophy winner. This was not a number one seed. This was a team that found itself down 2-0 in the first round, blowing two-goal leads, losing in overtime. This was a team that ran into the Pittsburgh Penguins and Sidney Crosby and the defending Stanley Cup champions. This was a team that had to win to stave off elimination in a Game 6 and then a Game 7 on the road. This is a team that won 2 on the road to open up this series against Tampa and then lost 2 at home. All of the earmarks of previous Capitals collapses of the past, they blew through those stop signs. They redeemed themselves at every turn of all the things they used to never be able to do. And just for that reason, flipping a narrative on its head, flipping the script in the history, is such a cool sports story, whether you're a hockey fan, a Capitals fan, or not. And finally, Tyrod Taylor weighs in, Browns quarterback, on the new national anthem policy.
To make a decision that strong, you would hope that the players have input on it, but obviously not. That's what we have to deal with as players, not a good or a bad thing, but at the end of the day, they call the shots and make the rules, so that's what we have to abide by. And I think the main thing out of all of it is that each ball club is having open communication with the players and the ownership about the issues that are going on in the community and trying to change it. And I know Mr. Jim and Mrs. D. Haslam, even the team that I came from in Buffalo, they've been proactive about the situation and trying to do things in the community. So I think that's should be the focus now, and hopefully it is moving forward.
That's your sound check. The PGA Tour's top golfers, including Webb Simpson, Ricky Fowler, Jordan Spieth, take on the Colonial Country Club of the Fort Worth Invitational this weekend on CBS. You know, to me, it's just been a complicated issue, the national anthem, because we have mixed patriotism and commercialism. We have mixed patriotism and capitalism. The owners are doing this, as we talked about earlier in the hour, not because they're more patriotic, not because they love America more than the players, simply because it was bad for business that this was happening. They saw people get angry. They saw ratings go down. They freaked out and said, we've got to solve this. And that's fine, because their priority is business. But the national anthem becoming co-opted for business, to me, is problematic. Because the national anthem was never televised, except for the Super Bowl. And nobody ever flipped out that, hey, why am I not watching the national anthem right now? During the national anthem, people go and buy beer all the time. They go to the bathroom all the time. They check their phone. I've been at a million games where everybody in the stands were doing anything except focused on the national anthem. So if this is about business, if this is about patriotism, then shut down all concession stands during the national anthem. If this is about patriotism and respecting the flag of the nation, fine, close the bathrooms during that time. You should not be able to relieve yourself during the national anthem or be sitting on the throne during the national anthem if this is about patriotism. But do you think every stadium suddenly going to close their beer stands? No. Jed York says, yes, I'll do that. Are the other 31 owners going to follow suit? No. So that's the problem here, is that this is not about the respect of the anthem. It's more about what's good or bad for business. And that's where I think it becomes a lot of disingenuousness from everybody in that league. When we come back, going back to Alexander Ovechkin, is this his Peyton Manning moment? DA, CBS Sports Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.